All right. First of all, Wayne, if you could introduce yourself for me, please.
Certainly. I'm Wayne Honeycutt, and I have the pleasure of serving as the Deputy Chief for Science and Technology with USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service.
Well, and we are here at the first Soil Health Summit with the Soil Health Partnership, and you here representing USDA's NRCS. You talked first a little bit about the situation right now, particularly the amount of land that we've seen lost just in the last 25 years. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's really we've been losing land at an alarming rate, particularly when you look at our need for growing food. The projections are that between now and the year 2050, our population in the world is going to increase from just over 7 billion people to over 9 billion people. And folks are telling us that in order to sustain that rate of population growth, we're going to have to increase our food production by about 70%. And so then this real scary part about not only about being able to needing to grow that amount of food is that we are losing this land at an alarming rate. Between 1982 and 2007, we lost about 41 million acres of rural land to development, and about 23 million acres of that was active agricultural land. 14 million acres of it was prime farmland, that land which is best for growing this food that's least erosive, that is best at supplying its nutrients naturally. And so it's really, unfortunately, it turns out that some of the best soils for growing our food are also some of the best soils for building building buildings on.
Well, it's really a shame, but that combined with the climate pressures that we're seeing, increasing temperatures, drought, environmental challenges, have meant that really agriculture needs to take a good hard look at soil health. But you said that farmers have been leaders in the soil health efforts. Expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a number of very innovative farmers across the country. They've been exploring with different things like different types of cover crop mixes. For example, bringing in more legumes that can naturally bring in some of the nitrogen from the air that we breathe. The air that we breathe is about 78% nitrogen. Most people think it's oxygen, but it's only about 20% oxygen. And so a lot of these legumes that they're bringing in, their cover crops, different mixes, can bring that nitrogen into the soil and enrich the soil and enrich the health of that soil. And by doing that, it creates more microbiological activity. And so when you have more microbiological activity and more diverse microbial communities, then you can fight off diseases, you can recycle nutrients, you can build soil organic matter. When you build soil organic matter, then you increase the available water holding capacity of the soil. When you do that, then you build your resilience to these extreme weather events like drought and heavy rain. And so these types of practices are just really, really crucial that these more and more of these practices be developed. And the farmers have been really on the leading edge of looking at a lot of these different cover crop mixes, different ways of seeding them for enhancing soil health.
Well, you mentioned I didn't realize that if you improve your soil health, you could actually decrease the need for irrigation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's because of this increased resilience. This, by increasing the organic matter, you increase the ability of that soil to hold water. So you can make the most of what rainfall you do get. So the more water is there available for the crop when the crop needs it. And some research that I did back when I used to work for Agriculture Research Service with USDA showed that if we enhance the soil enough, then we no longer needed to irrigate. Now, that was in, every study is different. Every soil is different. Climatic zone is different. Doesn't mean it could be done everywhere. But we were able to show that in our particular situation.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, you mentioned cover crops, and you talked about that quite a bit. The fact that it's really taking off, but we still have a ways to go.
Yeah, absolutely. The last research that I saw showed that there's about 10.3 million acres of cover crops adopted right now in the U.S. But when you figure we have around 340, 350 million acres of cropland, that tells you we still have a long ways to go. But the good news is that in the last two or three years, the cover crop adoption rates have increased exponentially. And, I mean, there are even places that are finding it difficult to find enough cover crop seed. because the demand is so high. So that's the real good news. And I really think that more seed will be produced. I think that there's only good things in the future because of this interest and because the recognized benefits for growing cover crops. For example, you know, the historic drought we had in 2012. There was a survey done by a USDA SARES called Sustainable Agriculture and Research and Education Group in combination with this group called the Conservation Technology Information Center. They did surveys of farmers at a number of different workshops and conferences, and those farmers that adopted cover crops, they had about 11 to 14% yield increase over those that did not have cover crops during that drought year, that historic year of 2012. So they had, you know, built that resiliency. The cover crops really helped them, and so they did not see as big of a yield decline during that drought year.
Well, this event, the Soil Health Summit, is growing out of the Soil Health Partnership, is about partnerships, and you talked about how critical that is, and really the people that are here represented in this room represent some pretty diverse interests. And so talk about how important this is as a partnership to everyone.
It is. It's extremely important. You know, I think that when you look at all of the demands, the production, the breadth of the country, the climatic zones, the different types of cropping systems, I mean, it's just more than what one individual entity, government or private, could do by themselves. And what's really exciting, though, is that not only is it needed, but all these different groups are standing up and going locking arm in arm to work together. And quite frankly, some of these entities are those that you would necessarily think that you would ever use in the same sentence together. But it's environmental groups, chemical groups, and government groups and private groups and foundations. All, I think, what there's been kind of a collective recognition that by focusing on soil health gives us a fighting chance not only at being able to grow all this food for this burgeoning population, but to be able to also and address so many of our most pressing natural resources needs. It allows us to improve water quality, provide like habitat for pollinators. It just allows us to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, increase carbon sequestration, and it helps keep farmers profitable, and we do not want to become dependent on other countries for our food supply, quite frankly. And so that's just another, you know, one of the reasons why so many of these people have recognized that by focusing on soil health allows us to simultaneously address all of these needs. And so that's one of the really exciting things about it.
What specifically is NRCS doing? You have some new initiatives on soil health, right?
Yes, absolutely. About 2 years ago, we started a national soil health campaign. And over like about 6 month period, we trained over 2,300 of our staff and partners. We've been conducting work to ensure that our plant material centers are doing a network types of research projects across the country on evaluating different cover crops. We're developing agreements with a lot of different entities for identifying different, for example, soil health types of demonstration farms. The list, looking at evaluating soil health types of tests, we're really ramping up being able to work with individual landowners to help them with their adoption of these soil health promoting practices. For example, right now we are in the process of standing up a new soil health division, and most of these people are going to be distributed around the country. Only one person is going to be a national headquarters in D.C. with me. The rest are going to be distributed around the country. And to help train our staff and to work with ag retailers and individual landowners in the adoption of these soil health promoting practices that are most relevant for them, for their cropping system. It'll be different for corn and soybean versus cotton. It'll be different one climate zone versus another, whether they apply manure or they don't, whether they irrigate or they don't. But by having folks that are in tune with those local conditions, those local production systems, then we're going to have the folks there that will help them along the way with these types of practices. And what's really cool, too, is that we have the We have some of the financial resources that are in programs that are available to help them along the way, to help them get started over the first 2 or 3 years through our Environmental Quality Incentives Program and our Conservation Stewardship Program. It can help provide some of the funding. The producer has skin in the game too, but it helps provide a fraction of it to help them get started on it.
What do you think about this event, and how do you think this will help?
Well, this event, you know, it's good to have some of the leaders get charged up a bit too, and it helps us network and sit around the table in the evenings and talk about the additional things, you know, that we have going on, our thinking, and it just helps strengthen the partnership. And I really think that's one part of it, but perhaps. Well, it's very critical, but even perhaps the most important part of this is bringing in the farmers and hearing from the farmers that are they're the doers. You know, about 70% of our land in the U.S. is in private ownership. Over 80% of the water that falls or travels over private land in this country. And so, you know, our country is really built a lot on individual freedoms. And these voluntary conservation practices are just part and parcel of that. And so I think that, you know, just being able to hear from our farmers on what's working for them or what's not working for them, how we can work with them better, is just a real critical part also of this conference.
And they're really the ones who influence their fellow farmers even more than, like, USDA or companies or organizations can, right?
Absolutely, yeah. They're the ones that sit around, you know, the coffee shops or that do the drive-bys and see what their neighbor is doing. And this is kind of one of the also exciting things about it. And, you know, we've recognized that. For example, last year we worked with USDA SARE and the Buffett Foundation, where that held a national cover crop and soil health conference. And in building up to that, what we did is we identified a number of locations that could bring farmers in to view the webcast of that morning's conference. And then when the webcast went away, they had a facilitated discussion, a conversation, farmer-to-farmer conversation, about what is it that you see that you could do differently on your farm? How could you implement some of these practices? And, you know, obviously we had some folks in there that had tried it, that it hadn't worked, others that had tried it, it had worked, so they were able to exchange information. And just in that one day, we reached over 6,000 farmers with information on these soil health promoting types of practices. And so these are just some of the things that we have going on that we're just extremely excited about. And we really think is really can really kind of help position our country even stronger than we are for being able to grow our own food in environmentally sensitive manners.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. Here at the Soil Health Summit in St. Louis, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.